Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We're going to go to the book of John. I meant the book of Revelation. Everyone's got a book they love. We'll just stay in John for now. John chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 5 to 19. John chapter 4, 5 to 19. It says this. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied, tired as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman came from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus was hearing whispers around Jerusalem where he was, the area where he was. And it was word that Jesus was becoming more significant than John the Baptist, that his disciples and Jesus were baptizing people, but it actually wasn't Jesus doing the baptizing. It was actually his disciples. But word was getting out, and Jesus knew it was not his time yet. So he decides, "I'm going to go to Galilee." And there's many ways he could have gone to Galilee, but he chooses to go through Samaria, a place that Jews did not want to go through. They would take the long way around because they did not associate themselves with Samaritans. Because back in the day in the Old Testament, when there was exile and Babylon took over, Nebuchadnezzar and the people took over the Jews and took them into exile, there was a few Jews that stayed back in Jerusalem. But what happened with those Jews that stayed back in Jerusalem is people from other nations, from all over Assyria, started coming into Jerusalem and started marrying up with these Jews. And then it became this mixed race that wasn't Jewish anymore. But when the Jews came back, when God brought them back to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city, they weren't happy with these Samaritans because, like, you're not pure. You're worshiping in different ways. You've gone against what God said to marry people that are not Jews. So there wasn't a good relationship. The Jews looked at the Samaritans, the people of Samaria, as unclean. So now Jesus decides, "I'm going to go through Samaria." And he goes to this well. He had an appointment. He knew what he was doing. He sends his disciples off to buy food in an unclean place. But he goes to this well. You guys all know this story. Most of you do. If you don't, John 4, there's so much in the story, and we can only touch on a little bit today. But this woman is thinking, "Why would you, a Jew, ask me for a drink?" The weird thing is that it says it was the sixth hour. Is it the sixth hour? Can we go back to the slide before? The sixth hour. It was about the sixth hour. This was actually 12 noon. It was midday. It's the hottest part of the day. No one goes to the well at that time. The ladies would usually go in the morning when it's cool, in the evening when it's cool, but at midday, the sun would literally be over their heads and it would be scorching. But this woman goes to the well to get water. And one would think, why? Is there shame in her life? Why doesn't she want to be with the ladies? She's going by herself with a jug, with her bucket. And we'll find out later on that this woman, as some of you know, there is shame in her life. She doesn't want to be around other people. She doesn't want people to be talking about her. So Jesus, waiting by the well, woman says, The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. What are you talking about? And the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this H2O so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I ain't got no husband." Jesus said, "You're right in saying you have no husband. Because I know you got five fellas. You've had five husbands, and the one you have now, he's not your husband. What you said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, you got some prophetic thing happening, because I perceive that you are a prophet." What happens when you drink water? How do you feel when you have a glass of water? Hey, Belen, when you have water, you get hydrated. Water goes through your body. Like, hydration is like absorption of water through your body. Our bodies are actually made up of 80% of water. We need water. We cannot live without water. Water will quench your thirst. Anyone thirsty here today? Right now? Well, I got some water here. The body actually functions properly when you have water. We can't function without water. You know, the blood in our kidneys is actually filtered by water. The excretion that happens out of our bodies to clean our bodies, that's because of water. Our joints will move well because of the lubrication that comes from water. We need water. Today, the title for the message is Still or Sparkling. Still or Sparkling. See, when anytime you go to a cafe or a restaurant, they'll be like, "Would you like some still or would you like some sparkling?" Yeah, what do you guys usually choose? Sparkling. I got some still here. I got some sparkling. Can you please open up some sparkling water for me? It could go everywhere. Yeah. I love sparkling water. This is S. Pellegrino. San Pellegrino. Prem loves to call it San Pal. You know, sparkling water, over the last decade, centuries, the market for sparkling water is actually valued at $30 billion US plus. You know, you talk about soda water, you talk about mineral water, sparkling seltzer water, San Pellegrino, whatever it is, right? Do you know Pepsi have actually come up with, back in 2021, sparkling water called Soul Boost. Soul Boost. They're trying to get all spiritual, that could boost your soul. But they're actually saying by 2030, sparkling water market's going to be valued at $93 billion. You know, people love sparkling water. Some of you are like, "Nah, man. I don't need spark." End of the day, water is water if it's clean. And tap water, in most places, it's clean. It's got magnesium in it. Yeah, it's got calcium in it. But for sparkling water, there's got a bit of carbon dioxide in it and sodium in it. That makes it real bubbly and gives you that really good feeling, doesn't it? But it all gives you the hydration. You get what you need from it. And usually when I go into a cafe and they say still or sparkling, I'm like, no, I'll just get the still because I'm assuming they're going to give me tap water and I don't have to pay anything for it. Anyone with me on that? Yeah? So I'm usually like, yeah, I'll just get still because, you know, but the funny thing is, even if it's tap water, someone's paying for it, right? Someone's got to pay the water bill. Even at home, we're like, oh, I'll go to church. I'm not going to buy water from the servo. I'll just fill up my bottle with my tap water. But still, that tap water at home is not free. You're paying for it. When we lived in London, my wife and I, a few years back, it was a bit different to Melbourne. They would ask you, still or sparkling? And I'd be like, still, please, because I don't want to pay for water most times. Next thing, they're bringing bottled still water. I think, oh, I didn't ask for that. These guys know how to get money off you. But it's actually because in London, back then, the water was called hard water. It's got so much magnesium, it's so much calcium in it. It ends up with this like white sort of finish to it, this lime scale. And your kettle, your glasses, everything, your shower, everything is just like white. It has this white sediment on it. So people don't really want to drink. Like in your own homes in London, you'd boil the water, unless you've got a filter tap, you boil the water and put it in the fridge. So I'm like, these guys are charging me for water. What is going on? Still or sparkling? But I want to tell you today that there's another option. You guys know it. There's another option. It's not just still or sparkling. Sometimes we think the tap water, oh, that never runs out. Man, you don't pay the bill, that thing's going to run out. Sometimes they're doing works and they just shut your water down. But there's a water that Jesus is talking to this lady about that never runs out. It's not still, it's moving. It's not sparkling, it's real. It is called living water, all right? That's the other option, and I'm telling you today, I'm not just here to fire you up, it's the truth. This woman is hearing about it. This living water is actually free. It is free. You hear about this living water also in John 7, 37. To 39. This is at the end of a feast, an 8-day feast, and it's actually on what they call the High Sabbath. And on the High Sabbath, you could not go to the well. So people are probably really thirsty, and Jesus knows they're thirsty. And he says to them, but he's actually talking about living water. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of what? Living water. It says, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Rivers of living water. This was a gift. This is a gift. Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 10, says to the woman, if you knew the gift of God, he says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you, saying, give me a drink, you would have asked him for a drink. And he would have given you living water. The gift of God is living water. It's a gift. It is free. This is what Jesus is talking to the woman about. When you look at the Old Testament, there's so many places. Jeremiah 2:13, you can write that down if you want. But there's so many places where God is referred to as the fountain of life. He's referred to as the fountain of living water. Our God is the fountain of living water. Living water. It's his presence. It's his Holy Spirit. Living water in the natural is a spring that has got just straight out of the ground. It's just natural living water that just flows and does not stop flowing. This woman's like to Jesus, where is this living water? Because I wouldn't have to go to the well. But Jesus is not talking about natural living water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit Living water is free. Let's all go to Isaiah 55, verse 1. It talks there about living water being free. God's presence being free. How are we stewarding God's presence? How are we stewarding the Holy Spirit? Isaiah 55, verse 1. I just gave you guys a head start now. I'm going. If I get there before you, seriously, something's going on. Is everyone there? Oh, you guys beat me to my head start. It says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. How do you come, buy and eat if you've got no money? How do you buy and eat when you don't have money? Come to the waters. It says, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is talking about what Jesus is going to do. What God is going to provide through Jesus, the Holy Spirit, come and receive without price. Because Jesus paid the price, was going to pay the price, and has paid the price by his death on the cross, by his blood being shed. Living water is, it is free. That word free, F-R-E-E, free. Who doesn't love free things? It's like, remember last year when Pastor Stephen McCracken was like, this service has been going for too long. We were actually going to sell some resource on this day that we're here. And he's like, we never do this. But I really feel God's just saying, just give my resource. He had a whole table at the back there. All right, guys, so Pastor Steve is giving all his books from McCracken Ministries for free. The whole church jumped to the back because there was free resource. You just say, hey, we're selling some resource, like three people. We all love free things. Who doesn't love free things? You're like, you know, doing something on the internet. Next thing you see this thing, oh, sign up to this subscription. Maybe it's KO, maybe it's Netflix, whatever it is. You know, 7-day free trial period. Oh, yeah, it's free. Let's go. And then as you sign up, it's like, oh, but just put in your credit card details. Just to make sure you can get the 7 days. Then you miss the fine print that says that if you don't cancel it by day 7, it's just going to start going every month. You get so into that thing, you forget. And then it's like day 21, you're like, oh, well, I've paid for a month. I'll just do the month. The next thing is 12 months. And you're still going, nothing's for free. There's always a catch with these things. There's always a catch with, someone's got to pay for it. So then how is living water free? See, the catch is that Jesus has paid for it. So even though it's free, we're actually, there's a cost. He's paid for it, but the cost is you and I laying everything down. The gift of God is amazing. His presence is amazing. It empowers us. It directs us. It's free, but for us to take it on, to put it on, we actually have to lay everything down. Jesus is talking to this woman. She's like, he's telling her what the gift of God is, the water. And she's kind of questioning. But when she gets it, she goes, all right, give me that water. Give me that water. She's ready for it. But Jesus says, okay, so go and call your husband and come here. He knows what's happening in her life. This is him saying you need to count the cost. You need to come clean. You actually need to let go of your past. You need to let go of that relationship that is not of God. So, and then they get into this conversation about the five husbands. But he's actually saying, lay everything down. So living water is free, but there's a cost to keeping in step with the Spirit. There's a cost to hearing from God. And it's putting all the distractions away. Putting all of our things away and starting with God. We can't have God after those things. We start with Him. Living water is free. We get caught up in the expensive and unsatisfying options. Just think about it. It's sparkling water. Why don't you want to buy it when you're in a restaurant? Because it's so expensive. But how many expensive things do we spend money on week in, week out? And sometimes they're just not even satisfying. We get distracted by by those things that are expensive, or things that are just not even money expensive, things that just cost our time, cost our emotion, cost our mind, our thinking space. We get so absorbed in those things when there's actually something that can lead us that is free, that needs to be our starting point. Where are we trying to get our thirst quenched? Are we drinking of the living water? Or are we looking for other things to satisfy the longing in our soul? Is it our business? Is it our career? Is it impressing our bosses? Is it getting that promotion? Because that stuff can be so consuming. But the word says it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. When you just drink of the living water of his presence, you depend on him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added. You've got to start. Like, the water is free. But we're forgetting the free thing and we're going for all the other things. We can easily do that. But we have a supply that is available through Jesus that we might not be making the most of. How many times have you just like, oh, how come I've got that headache? Oh, I haven't been drinking water today. It's like there's a tap in our hearts, in our spirits, that's always open, but it's whether you're willing to drink. And Jesus is just saying to us today, give me what you have. Give me who you are. Give me where you're at, and I'll give you what I have. For him to give us what he has, we've got to lay it all down. See, living water is free. The word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Bible in Galatians 5 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. That's why he died. That's how we're free. Because he did it for our freedom. Living water is free. And what living water is, we get to be. What living water is, we get to be. Living water is free. Doesn't mean you're going to give yourself for free to everybody. But it means you are free. You are free to walk in what God has for you. You don't have to be stuck. You don't have to be stuck in what people have said about you. You don't have to be stuck in a role. You don't have to be stuck in lies. You don't have to be stuck in the grind. You don't have to be stuck in your job. You don't have to be. There's freedom. There is freedom. And that God will show you that freedom when you drink, when you're desperate for that drink. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs after you. How desperate are we for his presence, for his living water? So as we take on this living water, it starts doing a work in us. You know, the living water, the Holy Spirit, it actually convicts us. It's the Spirit of truth. So things start to get washed away. God shows us the distractions. God shows us the idols. God shows us as he washes us with his living water. Living water is free, but living water cleanses. It cleanses. Living water cleanses. Yesterday, how warm was it yesterday? Yeah, it was nice. There was sunshine. I was like, man, we're doing a bit of gardening. But I was like, you know what else I need to do? I'm going to wash my car. So I washed the car, and as I was just hosing the car, you know, mixing the soap with the water, which is what you do, I was like, imagine if there was no water and I just had the soap. How that thing's just going to be streaky and still dirty. It just gets worse. You can't clean anything without water. This is simple. But how many times are we like, oh, I feel so yuck. I've done this. I've done that. But we don't actually go to the living water and say, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me with your word. Cleanse me with your spirit. Living water cleanses. That's what cleanses us. His presence, what he did through the cross. See, when we say yes to Jesus and we get saved, we're justified. We become righteous. That's our position in Christ. We are justified. Jesus sees us as righteous because we've said yes, because we receive his living water, his presence. But there's a sanctification process that continues. Being purified day by day, being transformed more into Jesus' image, becoming more like Christ. That's called sanctification. That's a continual drinking. Daily we get to drink of his presence. So he transforms us. In the Old Testament, in Zechariah 13 verse 1, it says this. Zechariah 13, 1 says, on that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. We are to be cleansed from sin and uncleanness through the living water. See, this was talking about the time that Jesus would come and would die and rise again, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit would come and we would be cleansed. And Jesus said in John 15, you are clean. I have made you clean. He says to all of us, you are clean. That's our position in him. But we need to be cleansed daily as we drink. There's so much in our worlds, so much around us, that we just need that cleansing. Ezekiel 36, let's go to it. Ezekiel 36, verse 24 to 28. Living water is free. Living water cleanses. So there's so many prophecies in the Bible about when Jesus comes and the power of that. They're all waiting on the Messiah, the anointed one. And Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28 says this. I will take you from the nations. This is talking to the Jews, to Israel. They've been scattered to the nations. And he's saying, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. That's how powerful our God is, to cleanse us. You know, before this was going to be available, they had to be cleansed through the blood of sacrifices. Verse 26 says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey all my commands. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Living water cleanses. Nothing else cleanses like living water. Living water is free. Living water cleanses. We just got some sprinklers that we've brought in today. They've connected them up to the blind. So you just want you to feel that refreshing that comes from water. Prem, can we get that on? Yeah, all right. 3, 2, 1, go. It's a hot day today. Living water is free. Living water cleanses. Living water refreshes. On a hot day, you just drink some cold water, or you jump in the ocean, or you jump in the pool, or you have a cold shower. How refreshing is water? But like I said earlier, I talked about Psalm 42:1, where David actually says, as the deer pants for streams of living water, so my soul longs after you. Just picture this deer. It's so parched, so thirsty. And it just runs till it finds that stream of water. That's how we're to be desperate and run to God. It's like, how do we get so far that we need that? When he's so close, when he's in us. But even when we're so full, we still need to have that same hunger. Because he has a daily refreshing. He has a daily cleansing for you and I. His things that he wants to set us free from daily. Sanctification is peeling the layers off little by little, day by day. None of us are perfect, and God is so patient. Living water refreshes. See, to drink is to take in, is to imbibe, is to absorb, to assimilate, to drink. Ah, still a sparkling. Is anyone thirsty? Still a sparkling? There's another option, living water. Living water. Just drink off the living water. It refreshes. It refreshes. When you take water in, it refreshes you. See, Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. See, this woman at the well would go day in, day out. She was going to get water, but yet her life was not full. She was not satisfied. She was not content. Her life was as empty as the jug that she would bring. She had tried husband number one, relationship number two, relationship number three, husband number four, husband number five. She tried. She was stuck in a cycle. Same old story. Now she had a man in her life that wasn't even a husband. She was looking for her soul to be satisfied by things that do not satisfy. She had a longing that nothing else, we all have a longing that nothing else but God can fill. Only the living water can refresh. You know, that question that Jesus asked that woman, give me a drink. How many times do we actually ask Jesus that question? He's asking the lady, give me a drink. But she should have actually asked, give me a drink. Because he says to her in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is inviting you and I daily to say, Lord, give me a drink. When you start your morning, give me a drink. When you go to bed, give me a drink. When you're going to that meeting, give me a drink. When you're about to have that crucial conversation, Lord, give me a drink. We've got to stay hydrated in the living water. It refreshes. We see this woman, once she's actually tasted, just being around Jesus, she was actually tasting the presence of God. She was getting a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, she has this massive conversation with Jesus about worship. It's like, you Jews, you say we can't worship on Mount Gerizim, which is a mountain just for the people of Samaria to worship on. You Jews say we should go to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. That's the only place we can worship. She's like, nah, it's not about that. It's not about location. It's about worshiping in spirit and in truth because God is spirit. They have that conversation and she starts to get it. She starts to get, wow, this could be the Messiah. She tastes the presence. See, when you taste, you've had a taste, you can't help but actually want to go and tell others. She drops her jug and she runs into the city. Verse 28 tells us, she runs into the city not to go get her husband. She goes to tell everyone, I've met this guy. This is what he said. He's given me a word of knowledge. He knows everything about my life. Come and see this man. The people come and they see this man for themselves. And people are getting saved left, right, and center because she tasted of the living water. She didn't want to keep it to herself. She was refreshed. Who knows the refreshing power of God's presence? See, when you're being refreshed, you just can't help but tell others about it. You're like, Pastor Steve, you're preaching for too long. I get it. I've got to go tell my people about it so they can know. Like, are we being containers of living water, of His presence? Are we keeping it to ourselves? Are we actually being channels where the living water can flow through us? Living water refreshes. It refreshes, but we can't keep it to ourselves. Is anyone thirsty? How about some living water? Still a sparkling. You got to get some of that living water. See, we see that there's a flow taking place with this lady. She's had the water. She's had a flow of the water, but now it's flowing out. She's had an inflow, but now it's flowing out. She's going telling people about it. So living water is not only free, it doesn't only cleanse, it's not only refreshing. What does it do, Larry? It flows. It flows. What was that? He's like, yeah, I passed. It's because Larry's heard the message before. So I'm like, Larry, are you with me, bro? He's with me. It flows. It flows. Living water flows. Brother Ian, living water flows. You can come up. We're about to close this. It flows. Ian flows on the keys. How about you? Will you be like this woman? Get it. And actually start being a channel that the living water can flow through. John 7, 37 to 39 says, is anyone thirsty? It says, come. Come and drink. Come and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Do we have rivers of living water flowing out of our hearts? Or are we getting fat in the Spirit? See, we can come here, we can drink, we can drink, we can enjoy God's presence. We just get full and full and full. But if we don't actually have places, people where we're going and sharing what God's doing, what God's speaking to us, we're just going to get so full that we actually can't get any more. We can come in here and preach, but you won't get it because you're just so full, because you're not being a channel. This woman actually got transformed into a source of living water. You and I have the opportunity to be transformed. See, the source of living water is the Holy Spirit. God is the source. But when we take that in and it cleanses us and it transforms us, we actually become sources of living water. Wherever you go, people will sense the refreshing. People will sense there's something different about you, and God will start to use you to touch others. Those words of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, healings, faith. They're gifts of the Spirit. They come from the living water. But for those gifts to be activated, for those words of knowledge, words of prophecy, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of discernment, you've got to be taking the water. Just like with your joints, they need to be lubricated so you can move well by drinking water. Your organs need to function well. It all comes from water. If you don't drink water, you're going to die. You will. Try not drinking water for the next 5 days and come talk to me about it. I'll see you in heaven. But we do the same thing with His presence. He's paid for it. It's free. It's available. Just jump in the river. Just swim in it, soak in it. Open your mouth, receive. It flows. Living water flows. But we see Jesus say something interesting to this woman in verse 14. If we can have that verse come up again. Verse 14 and 15. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. How can we never be thirsty again? Never be thirsty again? But yet, we're supposed to still drink? What does it mean by saying you will never be thirsty again? That got me thinking for a while, because we can skim over these things, but why would he say you'll never be thirsty again? But he says, come and drink. Come and drink. And you'll never thirst. See, to drink, to take in, you will never be thirsty again. There's nowhere where Jesus says never drink again, but he says you will never be thirsty again. He says you'll never be thirsty again because it says in there that whoever drinks of the water I will give him will become, that water will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Just think about it. When you receive this water and you have it in your heart, you have it in your soul, it becomes a spring that wells up into eternal life. It's a spring, but what actually starts to happen to this spring, that flow, that spring becomes a flow that becomes a gushing source of water that's going to be available to you up to eternal life. It's going to touch others. So it doesn't mean you don't drink. It doesn't actually mean you'll never be thirsty. It means you'll never go anywhere thirsty. You'll never go to something else thirsty. If you have his water, you don't need booze in excess. If you've got the living water source in you, you don't need people approval. You don't need to go there for your thirst to be quenched. You don't need people that God doesn't want you in your life. You don't need idols. You only rely on Him as the source and everything flows. You don't need pornography. He cleanses. You don't need those relationships. You know what I'm talking about. You know what He's talking about. Living water. That woman did not need all those things. Just need Him. You will never be thirsty again. Where do you find your refreshing? Where do you quench your thirst? It means we will never have to go anywhere else thirsty again. Because this well that we have never stops giving what you need. The Amplified Version says, but whoever takes a drink of water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually with him unto for eternal life. Let's all stand. See, we can draw from this spring, we can draw from this living water, but others can draw from it out of us as we become channels. This water does a work in us, it does a work in you. This water is available for all of us. God wants to do a work in all of us. I don't know where you're at in your life, but God is wanting to do a fresh work. He doesn't want us to go without His presence. He's doing His part. His water is available. See, many times my wife and I go to a restaurant. She's all about the still water. I don't know if it's because she doesn't want to pay for it. I think it's actually because she just doesn't like the bubble effect and the bloating. But I love sparkling water. So we're sitting there with a romantic dinner, still or sparkling. I'm like sparkling because I'm happy to pay for it most times. But I'm hoping they're going to give me the small bottle, but I forget to ask. So they bring the bottle. And I'm just like, what? 750 mils? That's what I'm thinking in my head. But they've already cracked it open. Here you go, sir, sparkling water. I'm thinking, I'm not going to finish that. But they take the cap with them. So they're pretty much saying you can't take it home. So I'm just like, I'm going to drink this thing. And I'll go home like so bloated. But that's because I know I'm not going to be able to have that bottle out there. the Holy Spirit, the living water, is ever flowing. He's with us everywhere. We don't have to worry that it's going to run out. He comes everywhere with us. You know, science will tell you how much water you need to drink every day. People will tell you, research will tell you, how many drinks of water should you have a day based on your weight, based on this, based on that. But end of the day, if you really want to know how much water you need to drink, all you got to do is look at your urine. I didn't say urine because it doesn't sound as holy. But you said urine. All you have to do is look at your urine. And if it's dark, like a dark yellow, if it stinks, come on, let's keep it holy. You know you need some more water. You know you need some more water. But if it's colorless, odorless, doesn't smell as much, I'm like, I'm winning. I've been drinking water. So all we have to do, brothers and sisters, on the real, is look at what's coming out of our hearts. How do you know how much living water you need? Look at what's coming out of your mouth. Look at what you're saying about people. Look at what you're saying about the church. Look at what you're saying about your wife behind her back. You're like, Lord, I'm weak, I'm normal. Just give me some more of that living water. It's free, it cleanses, oh, it refreshes. He doesn't judge, he doesn't condemn. He's just waiting there saying, son, daughter, take this, drink, drink, drink. He wants us to be a people that drink. The gifts are available, the fruits are available, but we've got to drink. Patience, love, kindness, we've got to drink of this water. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we say we want to drink. We say we want to drink of your presence. We want to drink of your Spirit. Will you let it cleanse you? Will you let it refresh you? Will you let it flow through you to touch others? Where would we be without the Holy Spirit, church? Where would we be? We wouldn't know Jesus. We wouldn't have church. We wouldn't have salvation. There would be no baby Jesus. There would be no Christmas. There would be nothing created without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit hovered over the waters and God spoke. We all need to bring the Holy Spirit back to the forefront of our lives daily by drinking. Oh Lord, we just pray that this church will be an ever-flowing church. We declare that this church is a river church. We declare that all of us are rivers. We're not swamps, Lord. We receive of your water. Lord God, may it flow through us. May it fill us up to overflowing. Lord, may it refresh others. May it refresh others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to open up this altar space. I don't know how this has spoken to you, but it challenges me daily. When certain things are happening in my life, I'm just like, oh, I'm thinking certain ways. I'm thinking, what have I been drinking of? Because that is not of God. And we can drink at any point in time of His Holy Spirit. But I just want to invite you to a moment of just coming to God and just saying, Lord, would you pour out your living water? And as He pours out this living water, I invite you to come up to the front of the altar and just worship Him. As you worship Him, I just believe that there's going to be a gushing of His living water again. We've already got it, but He's got something fresh. He's got something new. So I invite you in this moment to just come to this carpet, kneel if you need to kneel, lie down if you need to lie down, but just come and worship Him and ask Him. Remember that lady? She's the one that needed to ask, give me a drink. But Jesus humbled Himself. And I just sense Jesus saying to all of us today, give me a drink. He's saying, give me a drink. So why don't we come up and worship him? And as you give him your worship, he's actually going to give you a refreshing that's going to mark you, that's going to keep you dependent on him as you go into your week, just wanting to drink. So let's come up, let's worship him and receive, but yet give. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.